Greetings to you all in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And I praise God for the privilege of being here on this auspicious occasion, the 42nd graduation of the Far Eastern Bible College, and also being the 500th year since the great Protestant Reformation. And we give thanks to God for his word and for the privilege of the Bible College having such occasions. As Dr. Jeffrey mentioned tonight, the message comes from, well, the title of the message is Loving the Lord by Shepherding His Sheep. Loving the Lord by Shepherding His Sheep. The verses in particular that are designated for tonight's message are from John chapter 21, verses 15 through to 17. John chapter 21, 15 through to 17. These are words that we just did read responsibly with Reverend Dr. Das Koshy. And praise God for the resurrected Jesus Christ going to his disciples who were not quite sure what was going on. And because they weren't quite sure what was going on, because Jesus Christ had been crucified, he'd resurrected from the dead, they went back immediately to that which they were familiar with, and that was fishing. And so they went back there, but you see, Jesus Christ saw them go out to fish, and he had resurrected, and so he gently guides them before he does ascend to heaven. He had previously appointed the Apostle Peter a very important position. He had a very important task to perform, a duty to perform. But just before we look at that, let us just look at these verses. We'll just read these verses through again. So verses 15 through to 17 of John chapter 21. And the Word of God says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these?" The words of Jesus Christ. "Then he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." So first time, feed my lambs. In verse 16, "He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep." So firstly, feed my lambs, and now it's feed my sheep. Then in the third verse, verse 17, "He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we do give thanks for thy goodness to us and for the privilege of being here on such an occasion. We give thanks for those who are graduating tonight and pray as they go forth, they may be a people who love thy word and who shepherd thy sheep as well. May they be granted much wisdom, and may we encourage one another in the truth of thy word, understanding the momentous times in which we are living. And Lord, may our hearts be one with another. May we esteem others better than self. Lord, that humility may be extended and shown forth. May they be gracious unto us all, and we give thanks for the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Simon Peter was given a duty to perform, and I'd just like to mention too that Jesus Christ also gives a particular way in which people are to come into the sheepfold. And we see in John chapter 10, verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1, the inscription in some of your Bibles, which is by men only, above verse 1 may say, I am the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Now, what he mentions to start off with is that which is in the negative. And he said, "Verily, verily, verily," so it's the two verilies, "verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Jesus Christ then continues to say the way to Jesus Christ is through the door. Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. He also said, I am the door. Now, when it comes to messages with regards to the shepherd and sheep, they could be extensive, but Jesus Christ is the lamb who was slaughtered on our behalf. So he mentions here that robbers come over the fence, because remember, a sheepfold is has sturdy walls, but it has an entrance, and at the entrance sit the shepherds. And at night time, to protect their shepherds from straying beasts and wolves, etc., they would bring their sheep to the sheepfold and sit at the door. In the morning, the shepherd would just speak, you know, and say there was six shepherds with six flocks of sheep inside the fold. When each shepherd would call, his sheep would come out. Nobody else's, only his sheep. Then the next one would call, his sheep would come out, because they knew the voice of the shepherd. Here, Jesus Christ is saying the thieves and the robbers, they will try to get over the wall, and they will do damage to the sheep as well. Now, these are the leaders who are the apostates, and sometimes there are those sheep who maybe have jumped over the fence as well. And if it's so, then their problems will be caused. And so Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd, and he is the door as well. Now, he had previously given the duty to the apostle Peter, and that was the keys to the kingdom. He was not building Jesus Christ was not building his kingdom upon Peter, but upon himself. Now, when it comes to the keys were given for a very good reason. And the reason was the gospel keys. The gospel keys from Matthew chapter 16, I'd just like to read verse 18. That thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Okay, so Jesus Christ gave these keys to the Apostle Peter, not like the false documents that some 850 false documents that were written and distributed to give the papacy the right to do it. It was false documents that went out. And folks, we are living in times when you will hear all sorts of falsities go out. You'll hear all sorts of accusations, all sorts of slander, all sorts of malice. You're going to hear it. Now, Jesus Christ then had resurrected from the dead. Okay, he'd given Peter these keys. So what's Peter going to do with them? Because all of a sudden, Peter, when he promised Jesus that he would go with him, he had the courage to mention he would go with him whilst Jesus Christ was still alive. Then, when it came to Jesus Christ being betrayed and going through the courts, the Apostle Peter, on three occasions, denied Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ is doing here is restoring the Apostle Peter. He's reinstating the Apostle Peter. And this is the way that he does it. Reverend Dr. Daskoshi did read the previous verses, which is the fact that they went fishing, the eighth miracle in God's word. They were comfortable doing that. And often there was a miracle that was associated with teaching. So they had gone back to what they knew,
And sometimes you see students who get a little discouraged and they will head back into the world to do the things that they used to do. Well, the apostles did it, okay, because they weren't quite sure how this would all unfold. And then Jesus Christ appears to them. He asks them what they had caught on their own strength. And the answer was nothing. And so in obedience to them, he says, cast out on the other side. And they must be thinking, well, that is completely contradictory to fishing. For those of you who are fishermen, there's times when you can't catch. They catch at nighttime, and then they come in and they clean their nets. There was nothing there, but in obedience to Jesus Christ, they put their nets out on the, net out on the other side, and 153 fish is what they caught. You couldn't have any more, or the nets would break. And then he had cooked for them. The Apostle Peter had stood himself by a fire warming himself up, a campfire warming himself up when he denied Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ uses a fire again to cook the fish and prepare a meal for them that they may be encouraged. And so Peter heads in, and now remember that we see from the Word of God that previously Jesus Christ had appeared unto Peter privately. So when Jesus Christ is appearing now in these verses to the group, he had already appeared privately to Peter. And now he's reinstating him in front of the disciples. And so he says to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Simon, do you love me more than you love the disciples? Because, Simon, they didn't betray me. And he uses, when Jesus Christ is speaking, he uses the word agape. Now, we know that the word agape, when it comes to love, is a deep appreciation based on a careful consideration. Again, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Simon, do you love me more than you love the disciples? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. So he uses the word, the Greek word phileo, for love. Okay, now when it comes to the word phileo that he used, it's an intense feeling of love. So it's a different degree of love. And then Jesus Christ said, he saith to him, feed my lambs. Now, when the word for feed is used here, which is bosko in the Greek, it is to feed, it is to graze, it is to tend to. So it is a pastoral application. Be tender, care for the sheep, graze them, tend to them, feed them. Then he continues on in verse 16 and says, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Again, Jesus Christ uses the word agape, agapeo for love. And Simon is challenged that he's being asked a second time. But see, Jesus Christ is restoring him, reinstating him, but he's doing it publicly because he had privately spoken to him. He's doing it publicly so the other disciples can see that he had been reinstated to a former position, because they didn't deny Jesus Christ, but he did. So you see here, there can be folks who make mistakes, and when they admit their love to God and they show their love to God, God restores. And so here we see Simon answering, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now the word here for feed is to shepherd. The Greek word is to shepherd the sheep. And so tonight's message is loving the Lord by shepherding his sheep. And so the first time is tend to, it's graze, it's care for. And when you're caring for families, when you're caring for the mothers and the children, it's a tender care that's there. But then comes the pastoring. And that is what many of you will be doing as you go back to your countries, as you go out into God's vineyard. Then verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Now, okay, on this occasion, Jesus Christ changes the love to the lesser love. He's coming down to what Peter has, how Peter has been talking. And Peter says, but Lord, you are omniscient. You know all things. You know that I love you. Made a mistake, yes, but he loves the Lord. And that's when Jesus Christ then again said, feed my sheep, pastor my sheep, lovingly pastor my sheep. We give thanks to the Lord for the privilege of pastoring his sheep, for those who have the privilege and opportunity. When it comes to the Apostle Peter then, he was given the keys to the kingdom. What were those keys? To bind and to loose, they were the gospel keys. And as we see from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that Peter was to use the gospel keys to open the gospel, to set the gospel forth, to send it forth, so that we then, in the generations to come, are still able to minister. So the keys then were to open the kingdom. Jesus Christ then had given him the keys at Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter did minister. There were thousands that came to the Lord. The Word of God says to ministry into Judea, into Jerusalem and Judea, and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So the Apostle Peter did minister, use the gospel keys at Pentecost, to Jerusalem and Judea, to then to Samaria. And the two deacons came back from Samaria and said, you know, the people are coming to the Lord. And so the Apostle Peter went up there because he had the keys to open. The deacons didn't have the privilege of doing that. They didn't have the right to do that. And so the Apostle Peter went up. The gospel keys were used. Cornelius then came to the Lord. And when Cornelius and his family came to the Lord, it was the Apostle Peter was there to open the gospel kingdom that then we may freely be able to minister. And so, Peter had three times he denied, three times Jesus Christ questions him, lovingly restores him, reinstates him to a position which where he was at before he lacked the courage to do it. Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe, and from here on in, I will just say Reverend Toe, but he is a man who had the greatest impact on my life, more impact than any other man in my life, my spiritual father. He always used to say, don't say that you will be faithful to the end. He said, pray that you will. Peter said, I will go with you, Lord. But he lost the courage in the end. Okay, so we see Peter then given a privilege. Peter was first century. And for those of you who did the online Far Eastern Bible College studies recently, you will have learnt lots about the Apostle Peter. And praise God for those of you who did the online studies. So first century was the Apostle Peter. When it comes to loving the Lord by shepherding his sheep, first century, the Apostle Peter, and all the other apostles as well. And so I would just then like to move a fraction further, because tonight is to do with two dates, three dates. It's to do with three different centuries. First century, the gospel went forth. Then we see lots of history until the great Protestant Reformation. When you see people who loved the Lord and gave their lives because of serving the Lord, loving the Lord by shepherding his sheep. And it's very interesting to note, as we have just come back from Mersing, studying the seven stars of the great Protestant Reformation. And as we looked at all these stars, we started off with Wycliffe, And then as we moved from Wycliffe, we went to Huss and to Luther and to Zwingli, to Calvin, to Tyndale and Knox. I ask you, which of these reformers were farmers? Which one were farmers, and which of those would have had a different appreciation of the word of God when God said, "Shepherd my sheep"? Well, who were they? Zwingli was the first one who was the farmer. He was actually a shepherd. His father was a shepherd. And for those of you who have been up to the Swiss Alps, in summertime, he used to go out with his father because his father was a shepherd. And so here was Zwingli as a shepherd. He ended up with so many false accusations against him as he stood against the errors that had come through Rome and through the papacy at that time, but he was burnt at the stake. But he was a farmer. He was a shepherd. He understood what Jesus Christ said when he said, "I am the shepherd." He could understand it from a different perspective. Who was the second person who came from a farm? Luther. Luther's father was a farmer. And so they're going to understand the perspective of Jesus Christ as the great shepherd. Now remember that the shepherds in the shepherd's field would raise all the sheep, would breed the sheep so that they could be sacrificed in Jerusalem. Well, where was Jesus Christ born? He was born in Bethlehem. And where was he crucified? He was crucified in Jerusalem. You see, so God's word is just perfect. So here you have Zwingli, a shepherd. Luther was a farmer. He was from a farm. Yes, God used him in a mighty manner. Then Tyndale. Tyndale likewise was a farmer. You know, when we were farming, we had up to 12,000 sheep. We couldn't know their names. And in large congregations, the pastors don't know their names. But you see, Tyndale burnt at the stake as well. Why? Because he loved the Lord's people. He loved the Lord, and he was lovingly shepherding the sheep of the Lord as well. Came from a farm. He wanted the word of God to be in a language that a plow boy could understand. For those of us who at Mersinger, we watched the film. We watched Tyndale go back to the farm. He sat on the side of the hill and he watched the ploughboy ploughing. The ploughboys don't have a lot of education. They don't have the privilege for a lot of education. And he said, "I want to produce the Bible, the word of God, that even the ploughboy could understand." What do we have today in God's word? We have, in the Old Testament, we have 76% in the KJV of Tyndale's Bible. In the New Testament, we have 84% of God's word in the Bible, in our Bible, of Tyndale's word, his translation in our Bible. He wanted it so a ploughboy could understand. Folks, if all your studies are for intellectualism, you've misunderstood what the word of God is about. Because here, Tyndale was translating it that the ploughboy could understand. He was a farmer, and that's where his heart was. And he knew about the sheep. He knew about the shepherd. He went to the stake. He was burnt at the stake likewise. Why? Because he loved God, and he loved God's people, and he wanted God's word to go forth. Calvin was not a farmer. But there was one stage when Calvin dressed up as a farmer, because if he didn't, he probably would have lost his life. And that was when his good friend asked him if he would speak at the university in Paris. And he spoke and he challenged the philosophers, and they hated him for it. And he had to put bed sheets together and get out the window and escape. How? Dressed himself as a farmer. You see, so there is a humility. We have seen a lot of people learn God's word intellectually. They have it in the head, but it's just not in the heart. You say, "Well, brother or sister, you know, there's some folks here, we'll go and minister to them, but I don't know how to. But you know the Word of God, yeah, but it's in my head. The Word of God has to be in the heart as well, folks. It's not just intellectualism. It is applying the Word of God. If the Word of God says you've got to forgive other people, you've got to forgive them. You say the Lord's Prayer, and at the end of that, Jesus Christ said, if you don't forgive others, I will not forgive you. So we walk around with all this unforgiveness. We cut people down here, we cut them down there. Folks, that's not what the gospel is about. Religion is different to Christianity is different to religion and politicking. And so, the 16th century Reformation, praise God for all of those who were involved. Then we get briefly to the time we're living in. There was the 20th century Reformation, the 21st. Praise God for the Far Eastern Bible College. When we were across in Europe, we did, my beloved wife and myself did a Reformation run through Europe. We started off, and this was in the year 2009. Why? Because it was the 500th year of John Calvin. And Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe went home to be with the Lord on the 500th year of John Calvin. We did a Reformation tour. I asked Dr. Jeffrey, how do we do it? And he said, well, you asked this person. I went to that person. No, no. So we did our own. We went through Ireland. We went up to Cambridge. Tyndale, the farmer, studied at Cambridge. And you had the Martyrs Memorial there. Then we went throughout Europe as well to see where the Reformation was and apply it to our lives, because we were given the Reformation spirit even as we studied at the Far Eastern Bible College. We went through Amsterdam where Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe and all of the men got together to stand against the World Council of Churches in 1948. Then up to Berlin. We were there on the anniversary of the fall of the wall. To Wittenberg. We were there on Martin Luther's birthday. Then worked our way down through all the places where Luther and everybody were betrayed by men. What for? Down to where Huss was burnt at the stake, then across to where Zwingli was, and then down to Geneva, where Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe was ordained as a minister in St. Peter's Church. Then we worked our way back up to the Swiss Alps, where Zwingli was. Then we worked back through France as well, where my grandfather fought in the war. Then back through Brussels, then to Dordrecht, where the Canons of Dort were fought out, then to Rotterdam, where William of Orange was sent across to England to prevent a Roman Catholic king, and then back to Amsterdam and home. But you see, these things came about because of study at the Far Eastern Bible College. You know, I was warned not to come to the Far Eastern Bible College, and that was 24 years ago. Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe, when I had graduated, said, two things I require of thee, brother. You continue to study every year through the Far Eastern Bible College. And I have. Last year, I was not able to be here for the DVBC because of speaking at the pastor's conference at the BCA in Africa, but still studied online and have had the privilege every year since. Why? Because Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe was a man who loved God, and the way that he shepherded the sheep was incredible. He loved God and he humbly shepherded the sheep. All the reformers had all sorts of slander against them, had all sorts of malice against them. I saw the man, Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe, suffer all of the vicious comments, all of the malicious comments from people. How did they get there? Did they come over the fence? You see, how do you lovingly shepherd the sheep? Well, by teaching. By teaching under sanctification, that the people's lives may be sanctified. Calvin had a Bible college, had the academy, the Geneva Academy, Calvin's College, where he taught the Word of God, and we have the institutes today. And we give thanks for the memory of these people living on. So, My point when I was told, do not come to the Far Eastern Bible College, was this. You tell me, one Bible college in the world, that is better. One, that is better than the Far Eastern Bible College. You tell me. I allowed those people a week and they couldn't find one that was better. And so I came to the Far Eastern Bible College. Folks, you have something here which is a gem. But you know what? The adversary and many that are working for him, we call them nocturnal schemers because they scheme at night, they implement their plans during the day. Everybody will be against you, but praise God for your studies here and for the courage of Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe. You know, he didn't get burned at the stake, but he was fairly well staked by many. But out of that came the refining of the VPP. He stood for the Word of God as these reformers did, as people who went before did, as the shepherds did. David, great shepherd. Abraham and Jacob and his sons, Judah, they were all shepherds as well. Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe, an under-shepherd of God, and I had the privilege of sitting under his loving guidance as well, loving the Lord by shepherding his sheep. Folks, it is the teaching, it is the warning, it is protection, it's the care that is given that shows that a person loves God. And so as we draw to a conclusion now, I would just like to for those who would otherwise have malice towards people, you know, saw Reverend Dr. Toe go through a lot of things. When he stood against Billy Graham, he was fairly well cut down. When it came to his health towards the end, there were the false accusations of his mental condition. And that was clarified very clearly by his GP at a True Life prayer meeting sometime after, and that beloved doctor is in our midst tonight. You see, much maliciousness. You know, the Iraq war, the Iraq invasion, started because somebody saw some photos. And because you see some photos, you say, well, okay, these people must be doing this, that, or the other. And do you know how many people lost their lives because of that? The Word of God says if somebody offends you, you go to them. You don't go spread around the world. You go to them because you may have misunderstood exactly what was going on. So for those who would want to tear down those who lovingly shepherd the Lord's sheep, love it, who are loving the Lord by shepherding his sheep, if you have malice towards somebody who is doing their best, I pray that you will understand one thing. In Singapore, when you drive around, okay, sometimes you hear people tooting horns, okay? A lot of the time I observed over the 24 years of 3.5 years of living here and rest of the time visiting, that sometimes people get very agitated and they press the horn, they hold the horn on and on and on and on. You know what that is to do? That is to show your own ego. That is because you are trying to prove somebody wrong. And far too many people in churches are there trying to prove everybody else wrong. You can't love the Lord by doing that. So, for those people who are smiling tigers, I pray that the next time you hear a horn toot out there, where somebody is trying to prove somebody else wrong, that you understand that's what you are doing too. First century, the Apostle Peter and the brethren stood. He made his mistake, he repented. Rahab made a mistake. She repented before God, and her son was Boaz. So she's of the lineage of Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as perfection. But when it comes to loving the Lord by shepherding his sheep, let us understand, let's give thanks. First century folks, the great Protestant Reformation 500 years ago, so those graduating tonight, it's auspicious. And the 42nd anniversary of your graduation as well. And for those of this century who stood firm, I was the only pastor outside of America to go to Collingswood BP anniversary, their 75th anniversary, the only one, and it was a little discouraging to see the condition of things in the time we're living. May our hearts be revived, and may we give thanks to God for those who are loving the Lord by shepherding his sheep. Let us pray. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for thy goodness to us and for the Apostle Peter recognizing that he had been forgiven. He had been reinstated even by the resurrected Jesus Christ. And we give thanks, Lord, for thy goodness to us, for the faithful teaching that the Far Eastern Bible College has had for a number of years, for defining even more the VPP and for the privilege of all of the lectures and staff being able to say the Dean Bergen Oath, believing in thy word. May thou be gracious unto us, and may we be appreciative of those who are loving thee by shepherding thy sheep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.